just off good. We have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd, a wonderful Savior, counselor, friend. I'm going to introduce John 10. In my reading, I was surprised about some of the things I found and pleased. I want to share them with you. In chapter 9, our Lord is having quite a discussion with the Pharisees. Remember, that chapter is about the man born blind. Quite an argument. Parents called in, "Is this really your son who was born blind?" "Yes." "Well, how did he get healed?" "No, ask him." And all back and forth. Because everybody involved is afraid of the Pharisees. And you'll see at the end of chapter 9, the Pharisees throw the man who's been healed by Jesus out of the church, out of the synagogue, because of his confession of Christ as Messiah. Well, some commentators say this is a metaphor of sheep and their care of, or lack of care, and that chapter 10 continues this discussion. John said in 6, as we read, you heard, Jesus used this figure of speech, the sheep and the shepherds. But the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. This man that was given sight, remember, Jesus said in this chapter, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Light, sight. So Jesus' claims is something that the Pharisees do not like. And the healing, if you remember, on the Sabbath, was very unsettling to them, and we'll pick that up. Now, the Pharisees know the Bible and Bible history better than any other Jews living at that time in terms of as a group. They study the Bible. They're steeped in the knowledge of the prophets. And they know what Zechariah in chapters 11 through 13 is speaking of when he contrasts two shepherds. In chapter 11, 12, 13, one is a messianic shepherd king who's rejected by the people. Zechariah is talking about this. It'd be good to read this. Their rejection results in their condemnation. The second is a worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. God's messianic shepherd is struck down, Zechariah says, but the sheep will be scattered. And it leads to the judgment of the sheep and the refining of God's people. Now, the rejection of the Messiah by the leaders of the people and their own condemnation is echoed in John 10. Jesus probably has the Old Testament in the back of his mind. So, the striking of the shepherd in John 10, let's move forward, has a different effect. It will indeed lead to the scattering of the sheep. Later, when Christ is crucified, they scatter, but for a brief time. But it's also central in gathering his flock from all nations. Jesus in John 12 says, "When I am lifted up," talking about the cross, "when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Matthew Henry spoke of the Pharisees and their relationship to Jesus. They supported their opposition to Christ based upon this now. They are the pastors of the church. They are the teachers of the church. They are the leaders of the church. They have the authority of the priest on them. Jesus has no commission from them. Jesus was an intruder. Jesus is an imposter. And so the people are duty bound to stick with them against Jesus. That's the duty of the people. Christ in John 10 describes who were the false prophets, false shepherds, and he does it by showing how they act toward God's people, God's sheep. And Christ in John 10 shows who is the true shepherd, leaving the Pharisees to decide who they are. Now we see a difference between two ways of salvation, the Pharisees' way and the Jewish way. They know God's ways, they think. They know the law, they think. Jesus has broken the law in their minds because he healed on the Sabbath. This blind man was healed on a Sabbath. They, as the law keepers in their mind, have expelled the man from the church. Now, because of his confession, they believe that they have really consigned the former blind man to death. That is, they've separated him from God and from the flock. That's what they believe they've done. That's the power they have. Now that's the law, the Old Testament law that they think they know. Okay, keep the law and you will be redeemed. Now the gospel teaches us and shows us that only Jesus kept the law. Now, Jesus, the true shepherd, in his gospel, it's a gospel of grace and reconciliation. Now he found the blind man, healed him, and brought him into his fold. If you remember when he heard that he had been thrown out of the church, Jesus went to him. And the man said, "Let me know who this man is so that I can follow him and worship him." Jesus said, "It's me." And that's when they threw him out of the church. That is, the Pharisees. Now, what's new about Christ? What bothers the Jewish leaders so much? Let's think about some of the new things. I'm not going to cover them all. There's so many of them. Remember, even at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus says, "You don't put new wine into old wineskins, they'll burst." Speaking of the kingdom of God now among you. Remember that Jesus gave us a new covenant in his blood. Remember, he gave us a new commandment in terms of love. Let's read a few things in the scriptures about the new things that really disturb the Pharisees. Romans 7:6. "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." The new way of the Spirit can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. That's something that wasn't happening with the Pharisees. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Hebrews 10:19-20. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain," that is Christ's body. Hebrews 12:24, "Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant." 2 Peter 3:13, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Revelation's full of this. We're going to dwell in the new Jerusalem. We're going to possess a new name. We're going to be singing a new song. In fact, all things are made new in Christ. The Pharisees could not tolerate this. Why do you think Jesus uses the figure of sheep and shepherd to describe his relationship with his people? Think about it for a minute. Can you see yourself in any relationship where you are a shepherd or a sheep, a lamb? belonging to or under the care of a shepherd. The first illustration came to my mind is, well, think of you as young people. You're on a team. There's a captain. He's like a shepherd. He is the one that calls. Think of the quarterback in a football game. And think of the team players. They're like the sheep that need a leader. Think of at work. You have a boss. And think of the people that may be under you, sheep. Think at home. You have a dad, mom, children, and a hierarchy within the children. Think of your relationship as a shepherd or a sheep as I go further. Think about sheep. We're going to try to identify ourselves as sheep first. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. Are we? Remember, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, we are, whether we know it or not. In the case of John 10, this is the usual thing. The sheep belong to the shepherd. This is the way Jesus is talking. The hired versus the owners. Do you know that you belong to Jesus? Well, think about this as we go through. Are sheep known for their intelligence? No. Do sheep naturally wander? Yes. Do we as God's sheep gather when we're called? Sometimes. Now, while sheep do not come when they're called, because they don't have a name, sheep must learn their name, I found out in reading about them. And the shepherd names every one of his sheep, and he calls them by name in a real situation. Have you experienced times in your wilderness where you did not nor could not hear Jesus calling? You could not hear his voice? Well, let's think about sheep some more. Do sheep need much care? A lot. We'll see a list in a minute of what the shepherd does. Lots of care. Well, what's good about sheep? As I was reading, I didn't make a list of all of them. There are about 15 or 20 things that sheep are good for, but we know about in this, what we're reading, they can follow a leader, a shepherd. They can learn that. They can listen. They can learn their names. They know that they produce wool and meat and fur and things like that. Turn your attention to the shepherd and think of even perhaps your role as a shepherd at times. Think of the shepherds protecting, watching, guarding, counting. And did you know in Psalm 23 when we read that, your rod and your staff comfort me? That rod is what the shepherd used to mark off 1, 2, 3. That's his counting device. Feeding, watering, resting, grooming, shearing, delivering lambs, leading, searching and finding the wandering sheep. Now we're going to dig into the chapter. We're giving you the background. Let's go into chapter 10. If you want to put your finger in there, I'm going to go through the verses. I'll not get through all of this as I had hoped, 30 verses. Actually, it becomes two sermons. I had to almost cut it right in half. So you might even think of this. I have another next sermon prepared if you want to hear any more of it, because I had to cut this one in half. John 10, 1. Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. There is a proper way, a narrow way, to go to heaven, to get into the fold. Verse 2, the one who enters by the gate, and some translations say door, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Well, the one, there is one, capital O-N-E, who can enter that gate. That narrow way, and that's the shepherd. proof of that is verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. He's legitimate. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There's one legitimate shepherd who comes to the fold with the blessing of the gatekeeper. Remember, in this passage, it's God who gives Christ his sheep. It's God who provides those that go in the fold. When the shepherd speaks, he knows his own sheep and calls them by name. They recognize his voice. They follow him out. That's when he leads them to pasture. Verse 4. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That word know is used later on, and sometimes it says hear his voice. The sense in which it's here is not just an intimate sense. It's intimate in the sense that they obey his voice. They hear his voice. They know his voice. They follow when he calls. There's obedience involved in this. That's in verse 27, verse 4, 5, 16. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd. And it says the sheep know his voice, three places in this passage, and they know their names. There's a wonderful intimacy between Christ and his people. They actually say, I'm reading about shepherds, that shepherds begin to smell like their sheep. That's pretty intimate. The shepherds actually is thought of by the sheep as one of them. They smell, the shepherd smells like us. Okay. Verse 5. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Who is the stranger here? What is the stranger saying? Back in chapter 9, what did they say? We know this man is not from God. He's a Sabbath breaker. He is a sinner. They would not recognize Christ as the Messiah. They put God's people out of the church who confessed him so. The appointed shepherds Jesus is referring here, they run roughshod over the sheep. Think about what they had been teaching. Even the disciples were confused. When the blind man first appeared, what did the disciples, in chapter 9, what did the disciples say? Who sinned caused this blind man his blindness? What's sin? Was it his or his parents? Now that's what was taught by the Pharisees. You sin, God bops you. I've even talked to Jews in the last few years, and they explained to me they see God as the evil eye. Gotcha. That kind of situation. And that's a Pharisaical teaching. What does Jesus answer to his disciples when they ask, his sin or his parents' sin? No, but for the glory of God. This blindness is for the glory of God. My 2 weeks with a cough and still lingering, glory of God? Jen's operation and help in getting through, glory of God? Do we think that way, or do we think that God tries to get even with us when we're not good? Or do we think God's going to pull the rug out from under us if we just do something wrong? Watch what you're doing. You're going back to the law and not to grace, if that's your attitude. The Pharisees were still under the law. The disciples were still under the law. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand this figure of speech, the sheep and the shepherd. They did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, in verse 7, Jesus said again, truly, truly, I tell you, I am the gate, the door for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. all who come before me. Wow, think of what the Pharisees are hearing. I am the gate, the door in verse 9. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Again, Psalm 23. When Jacob had his vision, the ladder, remember, going up into heaven, angels of God going up and down, God standing at the top. I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac. And later, he added Jacob. And Jacob said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Genesis 28, 17. John, in writing, wants us to have this same response. How awesome is this place? And the place now is Jesus Christ in our midst, the Son of God, the gate leading to God. The Good Shepherd lays down his voice for the sheep. The one who enters by Jesus has the liberty to come in and go out. Jesus' sheep have the freedom to live their lives in his presence. Both their going in and their going out is through him. In this way, he fulfills the type of Joshua, as described by Moses, when he prays in Numbers 27, 15 through 17. Don't forget, Jesus and Joshua are the same word. One Aramaic, one Greek, Joshua, Greek. Now, Jesus fulfills this type. Listen to what Moses says, Moses' prayer. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The freedom of Jesus' sheep to go out and come in reflects Jesus' own freedom. With the Father, one with the Father. I won't get to that today. That'll be the next time. For their going out and coming in is not on their own, but it's a part of following Jesus. Following Jesus. And he brings them into the safety of his fold and leads them out to find food, water, pasture. The Good Shepherd will make them lie down in green pastures and lead them beside still waters, quiet waters, preparing a table in the presence of their enemies. We read Psalm 23. The thief comes in verse 10 now, only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, in contrast to the protection and freedom and pasture that comes from entering through Jesus, or the stealing, the death and destruction that comes by the thief. The thief acts on his own selfish ends to the harm of the sheep. Jesus serves the sheep, providing for the sheep the way of life, which he will do, we see later on, at the cost of his own life. The contrast with the thief now is complete. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is one of the I ams that Jesus brings forth. There's two of them in this passage. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. And like all of the other I ams, it ultimately, they concern the issues of life. He promises life to the full. And now he says that life, this life, comes through his death. He brings that out in verse 11, 15, 17, and 18. Now, Jesus is not just risking his life as a shepherd, a real shepherd would be risking his life. Jesus is consciously giving his life for the sake of his sheep. The idea of voluntary and substitutionary death, it's in the Old Testament. It's many missed it. But we see the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. While this servant is likened to a sheep rather than a shepherd, it's said of him that the Lord makes his life a guilt offering in Isaiah 53:10. So again, Jesus' death is seen to be central to his test. Why Jesus came? To die. Okay. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus has spoken repeatedly that real life, true life, eternal life is only provided through him, through his coming. John 3:15, 4:14, 5:21, 24, 40, 6:27, 33, 40, 47, 51, chapter 8, verse 12. It's the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus and his disciples didn't get this, did they? Right at the end. You're not going to die. We won't let it happen. We'll fight for you. The hired hand, verse 12, is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. Verse 13, the man runs away because he's a hired hand. Cares nothing for the sheep. 14, I am the good shepherd, repeated. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Now, in his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller writes, this is his book, he writes about a real shepherd describing his presence among the sheep. And this is what is written by recorded by a real shepherd. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. Without him there, continuous conflict, jealousy, butting each other, the flock is very detrimental to the flock. They become edgy, tense, discontented, restless. They lose weight, become irritable. But one point that always interested me very much is whenever I came into view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries, stopped their fighting and butting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior. I'm stopping here before I go further because time is up. But I want to have an ending for today that relates to what we've been talking about. Yes, we know today is Father's Day. And I pointed out in the Old Testament, fathers were seen as shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the shepherd King David. Questions. Are we as fathers committed to being shepherds? Do we as sons, daughters, spouses encourage our shepherd fathers by loving them, honoring them, being faithful and obedient? Do we fathers spend enough quality time with our sheep? Do we lead our flock in and out in the ways of the Lord? Listen to Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and strength of the Lord. Fathers, do not bully your children to anger. Fathers, do not mock your children. Fathers, do not dismiss your children. Fathers, do not ignore your children, but bring them up in the discipline and strength of the Lord. The health of the church is largely determined by the health of the family. The health of the family is largely determined by the spiritual health of the father. Let's close. We have a loving father and a good shepherd. Thank you, Lord. May the Holy Spirit enable us to see and grasp our treasures in Christ through the gate, the door, the one who has laid down his lives that we might have life and have it more fully, to the full, more abundantly. The life that we have is actually his life, to go back and forth between you and this world, Father, knowing you hear, you watch us, we're the apple of your eye. Father, in Christ, we have such riches. Thank you for our shepherd. Thank you that you continue to watch over us and guard us, even today, by your word and teaching us your word, through prayer, through fellowship, through this church. You continue to watch and guard us and to build us up, to truly be a sheep that displays the love of Christ with one another for you because of your grace and your mercy in bringing us to yourself. We praise you for this and again ask that the Holy Spirit lead us to see more fully the riches that are ours in our Savior and Shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.